Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Listen. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And may the Lord bless to our hearts and lives this reading and hearing of His holy and inspired word. And let us now look to God for a few moments of silent prayer. Hear our prayers, O Lord, and answer them according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some time ago, I read an interesting story about Lorraine Wagner. In 1943, when she was a teenager, she sent a fan letter to an actor named Ronald Reagan. And Reagan took the time to sit down, and he wrote a short note of thanks to Lorraine. And then she wrote him back. They became pen pals for the next 50 years. Lorraine and Ronald Reagan were these pen pals, and he wrote her and told her about his career, about the mundane things that was happening in his life, and she did the same thing to him about her school and about mundane things going on in her life. They just wrote back and forth to each other. And even after Reagan was elected president, he and Lorraine Wagner kept in touch. They were pen pals. And their correspondence ended in 1995 when Reagan's Alzheimer's disease made it too difficult for him to continue writing. For 52 years, Lorraine, an average citizen, was a pen pal to a man who became the leader of the free world. Do you have someone that you write to? Do you have a pen pal? Of course, I guess a lot of people are not pen pals now in writing letters. They email back and forth to each other. But anyway, the Apostle Paul says that we are better than pen pals. He says, we're living letters. He writes from our scripture, are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Have you ever thought of yourself as a living letter? Well, here's the background from Paul's writings. You see, in Paul's time, if somebody was going to go to a strange community, a friend of his who knew somebody in that community to which he was going would give him a letter of recommendation to introduce him, to testify to his character. Well, Paul had no letter of commendation. Instead, he claimed the transformed lives of the Corinthian believers as his living letters of commendation. He didn't need ink for his writing. It was done by the Spirit writing its message in their hearts. It's just like if I chose to go to Spain and to visit in Spain and to share the gospel of Christ in Spain, if I knew somebody in Spain, which I don't, except some missionaries I do know that are there, ARP missionaries, you know, I would get a letter from somebody who knew them that I could take with me to testify to who I am, a little bit of knowledge about me, tell a little bit about my character. You can trust Earl, what he's going to tell you. And I could take such a letter over there, and that would be a way of introducing me to the people of Spain. Well, Paul didn't know anybody over there in Spain or wherever he wanted to go. He didn't have a letter of commendation to take with him. But his testimony, his proof of who he was and of what the gospel of Christ could do was the Corinthian Christians. They were living letters. They were living proof of what the gospel of Christ can do for an individual in their lives. And so he wanted them to know that they were living letters. I don't have a letter to take to somebody over there that you might know. But think about these Corinthian Christians, how their lives have been transformed, how their lives have been changed because of the good news of Jesus Christ. They are living letters. They are my proof of what the Spirit of God can do in an individual's life. He didn't need ink for his writing. It was done by the Spirit, writing its message in their hearts. And I'd like for us to think that each one of us is a letter of commendation for Jesus Christ. We are living letters. Now you think about that. We are communicating daily to those around us how much we trust in God. We're communicating wherever we go, to a filling station, to a grocery store, out to eat, wherever we go, we are communicating to those people around us what we believe about God, if God lives in our hearts, and whether we take God seriously. Now, that's a great truth, I think. It's an inspiration, but it is also an awful warning. Every Christian is an open letter for Jesus Christ. Every Christian, whether we like it or not, is an advertisement for Christianity. The honor of our Jesus Christ is in the hands of his followers, you and me. You know, we judge a craftsman by the kind of article that craftsman might produce. And people judge a church by the kind of people it creates. People judge Christ by his followers. And somebody has said that the greatest handicap the church has is the unsatisfactory lives of professing Christians. When we go out into the world, to the neighborhood, wherever we go, we have the responsibility of being open letters, advertisements for Christ and His church. Whether we like it or not, that's the way it is. Now, there are a number of ways that we can communicate to those around us that we trust in God, that we believe in God, that we're followers of Christ. There are different ways that we do that. I'll share two. One way we communicate God's love is with our words. Early printers used handset type. And when they received an article to an order to print a collection of Alfred Tennyson's poems, those who were going to set the type did a strange thing. They immediately ordered hundreds of extra letters of L and V. They needed those extra letters of L and V for their printing presses. Because they knew Tennyson. And they knew that Tennyson would really use a lot the word love. So they needed a lot of extra L's and V's so they could have enough to set the type for the words love in his poetry. The average set of type could not supply all the necessary letters. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I could speak an abundant supply of words of love? Now, what do I mean by the word love? I mean words of encouragement, words of praise. Now, I am in love with Harriet, my beloved wife. But I love you. I love all of you. I mean, you're special to me. I've known you for so many years, some not as long as others. But I love you as a church. But I'm in love with my wife. And we need to use words of love, of encouragement, of praise, to build people up. Words that make people feel better about themselves and about God. Words have such enormous power. Yeah, I've seen the spirit of people killed by careless words. Words we can't take back. And I have seen the spirit of people raised by words of encouragement, appreciation. In fact, researchers found that weightlifters were able to lift up to 8% more when they got a word of encouragement from somebody else standing by there. You can do it. You can do it. And they researched to say they could lift 8% more with people encouraging them. We make a difference in somebody's life just by our words. Encouraging one another with our words can be one of the greatest acts of service that we can provide. You know the song, Home on the Range. And it sings about a place where seldom is heard a discouraging word. We need to encourage one another. The author of Hebrews wrote in chapter 3, encourage one another daily. Are we doing that? In his first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, Paul says, encourage one another. Build one another up. This is so important. And so often we fail miserably in expressing our love, our appreciation, our encouragement in words. We forget to say the words, or we neglect to say the words, or we refuse to say the words. And that's so sad. A husband and wife live together day in and day out. Sure, they love each other, but has it been said? Has it been verbalized? Father and son, mother and daughter, sister and brother all live together under the same roof. Sure, they love one another. Has it been said? Christian friends live near each other. They serve in the same church. They sit in the same pew. They sing in the choir. They study the Sunday school class together. Sure, they love each other. Sure, they care for each other. Sure, they encourage one another. Have they done it? Has it been verbalized? We need to do it. We need to be more conscious of the fact that it helps so much when we hear an encouraging word from someone else. Say it loud and clear. Say it before the sun goes down tonight. Say it in the gracious spirit of Christ. When we encourage others, we are the voice of God. We are living letters from God. And we communicate God's love with our words. And another way that we communicate God's love is with our actions. Billy Graham tells that a number of years ago, he was in India on a crusade. And while he was there, he witnessed to a man about Christ. And then he asked the man if he would like to become a Christian. And the man gave this response, "I like what you said. And if I ever meet a real Christian, I'll become one." And he's talking to Billy Graham. And the Billy Graham said the most tragic aspect about the man's response was that he was looking at me when he said that. "I'll become a Christian whenever I really meet one." Dr. Graham was being modest. But it's so true how we conduct ourselves, how we act, communicates how seriously we take the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In the 1950s, Charles Swindoll served in the Marine Corps. He had the opportunity to tour the Pacific and to visit Japan. And before the men on the ship were allowed to go on shore in Japan, the company commander lined them all up and he gave them a sober lecture. He emphasized to them that the customs, their customs and habits might not be welcome in Japan. He told them, "Now, they have different customs, different habits. You're going to have to be aware of that. Your behavior is going to be closely scrutinized by the Japanese citizens. It would be imperative that you maintain good behavior because, as the commander said, they know nothing of your homeland except what they see in you. They're going to look at you. They're going to observe you, how you act, what you do, what you say. They're going to observe you. They know nothing of your homeland except what they see in you." And Swindoll goes on to make the point that as Christians, we have the responsibility to represent our homeland, and as Christians, that means the kingdom of God here on earth. We are God's living letters. How we live validates what we believe. the words we say, the deeds that we do. I'd like to think that each one of us is a letter of commendation for Jesus Christ. We're living letters. We're communicating daily to those around us whether God truly lives in our hearts. We're communicating daily whether we take God seriously. And when the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts, we are living letters from God to those around us. A familiar poem to us all, it speaks so well of this. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. You're hearing a sermon today, but the point is, I'd rather see one than hear one. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but examples always clear. The best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see good put into action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. The lecture you deliver may be wise and true, but I'd rather get my lesson by observing what you do. We are living letters. How we live validates, it's a testimony of what we believe. A Spanish philosopher used to tell the story about the Roman aqueduct at Segovia in his native Spain. It was built in 109 A.D. For 1,800 years, now get this, 1,800 years, it carried cool water from the mountains to the hot and thirsty city. Nearly 60 generations of people drank from the flow of this cool water from the mountains. But then a generation came along that said, the aqueduct is so great a marvel that it ought to be preserved for our children as a museum piece. We shall relieve it of its centuries-long service. They did. They laid modern iron pipes. And they gave the ancient bricks and mortar a rest from its service. But you know what happened? The aqueduct began to fall. The sun beating now on the dry mortar caused it to crumble. The bricks and stones sagged and threatened to fall. You see, what ages of service could not destroy, idleness disintegrated it very quickly. As a disciple of Christ, you either serve or you dry up. Did you get that? We're servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we either serve Him by being a witness, a testimony to Him, through our being a living letter by our words and by our deeds. We either serve or we dry up. We're living letters from God, and we communicate God's love through our words and through our actions. Let's do it. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the testimony of the Apostle Paul that those Corinthian believers were living letters. He didn't have to have a letter written on paper giving a testimony to the power of the gospel. He had the changed lives of those Corinthian Christians. And may the same thing be said of us, that our lives have been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as a living letter for Jesus Christ, others will see and know that we serve the risen Lord. In his precious name we make our prayer. Amen.